break. We're ready to go. I'm so glad that you're all here. I'm so glad that you've witnessed God moving. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is just wanting to be unhindered, be authentic. It's not about a religious thing. It's about a relationship. And when there's a relationship issue between you and anybody, there's a relationship issue between you and God, when's the right time to fix it? As soon as you know that there's an issue. And y'all, we don't want to be those people who say you got to dot the I and cross the T. When you figure it out, you come say, I want to get this right. I want to get this right. I told you about my daughter coming to know the Lord yesterday morning. It was so good. And then talking to a gentleman who said he was, after he heard her testimony, and her testimony was so simple. Let me hear if you have a testimony like this. I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. That was her testimony. Do you have that testimony today? I hope you do. And if you do, I hope you're willing to share it. If that's what you have, you got something. Well, the man we talked to, he said he was about 50%. He was 50-50. To me, that says he was on the fence. One side or the other, he wasn't sure. He was 50-50. He was teetering one side or the other. I asked him, I said, is it going to be a good day when you see God? Either when he comes to you or you come to him, is that going to be a good day for you? I don't know. I think it's about 50-50. So I'm telling you, what my prayer is this, if there's any 50-50s here, that you'll leave 100% today. And we're going to lay it out, the gospel message, just as flat and straight as what I can. And I'm going to do it from the book of Romans, which does, you know, it lays it out like a court, lays it out like a legal case. And I don't know if y'all know this, but there was a legal case made against you and me. In the courtroom of heaven, there was a legal case made against you and I. And you know, in legal cases, think about some of the legal cases that we know nationally. What do they look? They look for DNA evidence. They look for eyewitnesses. They get testimony. They get confessions, video cameras, whatever they can get, motives. They try to pile up all this evidence to convict somebody, right? When they get it all, they bring it to court. The judge is sitting there, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, everybody's there, and they're looking for a conviction. They're looking to, you know, accuse you, charge you, and incarcerate you for these crimes. What if somebody was doing that? What if someone was trying to prosecute you as a sinner? You know what I know about you and me? We're all guilty. Every single one of us would go up the river, man. And I just want to read this scripture to you because it's so good. But why do we have a hope? Why do we have light at the end of our tunnel? Why do we believe in God? Why do we say that we have joy? That's what we're going to talk about. That's what the gospel teaches us. Let me read these verses to us from the book of Romans, and we'll just look through this. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 12, then I'm going to jump to verse 18 and read the rest of the chapter. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father God, we've heard your word, we've sang your praise, we've come into your presence. Father, I pray no one leaves here 50-50. Let us know if we're in, we're in. If we're out, we're out, but we'll know the truth. Lead us to make the decision. Lead us to come to you. Lead us to accept the free gift, the good news, the life offered by Jesus Christ. Father, but we can only take it. We can only come to you because you're so gracious. So, Father, I pray that we would be those who worship you and stand at awe of your great grace because we've been caught red-handed. We're sinners, and we need your grace. Father, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the case against us, that's the bad news. Here's the bad news. You'll never, and let me just say this, you'll never understand the good news without the bad news. If you are always making excuses for why you sin, if you're always blaming somebody else, if you're always trying to skate out of the circumstances of your stupid actions, you will never understand why the good news is good. If you're always trying to shuck and jive and get away from it, you got to accept it. Here's the bad news. This is what the Bible's telling us. The Bible's going to be this is the authority. This is what it says. It says sin came into the world through Adam. So if you ever wanted to blame your daddy, you go all the way back. Boom, 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 boom. There's your daddy, Adam. How did it get into this world? Through Adam, through people just like you and me, Adam and Eve. They blew it. Well, what if it had been me and Sarah back there? We're so righteous, we wouldn't have, you know, we'd have been living in Eden still today. No, we'd have blown it too. Would have been you and yours. It don't matter who it was. We might think we're stronger than them, but we're not. And sin came into the world, and sin had a nasty infection with it. You know what that infection was? Death. It was death. It led to all kinds of death. Sin brought death. It wasn't God's original plan. It's part of what came. And it says not only, it's not just that Adam's fault, but in step with him, identifying with his family, identifying with the human race, every single one of us have sinned. And it says, therefore, death spread to everyone. It just, that's the facts. What kind of evidence does he have on us, though? Hey, what kind of evidence does he have on you? In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, God often calls two witnesses, heaven and earth. Let me ask, what has heaven and earth seen you do? Anybody want to share? Anybody want to plead the fifth? I don't want to tell on myself. I don't want to tell on myself. But listen, he says, I've caught you. Man, the heaven has seen you. The earth has seen you. Besides this, you know what it says? It says that he knows every thought. He knows every intent of our heart. He knows every deed, just like he knows every hair on our head. He knows everything we've done, everything we've thought of. He knows why we do the things we do. Don't we like to excuse ourselves? I did that bad thing, but I had to because they made me. You wouldn't believe, as a dad, I was the only child. I still tried to blame things on other people in my house. Who did that? I'm like, the dog. It was the dog did that. The dog made that mess. You know, it wasn't me. But I got four kids, and I can ask this. Who did that? All four of them simultaneously would say, not me. Well, your mother and I were gone. What, you know, I mean, we weren't in this part of the house. What? How did this even happen? Wasn't me. You got to be kidding me. But what kind of evidence would they have on you? You know, we talk about some of the basic, I talk about these all too much because this is in line with myself. You know, I've been seen drunk, I've been seen on drugs, I've been seen with porn, I've been seen angry, I've been seen fighting, I've been seen wretched, I've been seen all these things. I've been rolled in the gutter because I've been so filthy that they felt like if they rolled me in the gutter, that'd be a better way to bring me home than the state I was in. That's me. Heaven and earth have seen me. What about you? Maybe that's not your testimony. Maybe you are such a selfish person. Maybe you're just so into you, but nobody really knows that. But you manipulate, you scheme, and you scam, and you wrap everything around you. Maybe no one knows that but God, but can I tell you, God knows that? Maybe you're one of these people into self-pity. Woe is me. Everything, this whole life is an avalanche of a disaster that's just happened to me, and woe is me, and I'm so pitiful, and wow, 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 wow. Maybe that's you, and no one knows it, but God knows it. Maybe you do have it. Maybe the state of Mississippi knows what you used to have done wrong because they put you up in their little chalet called Parchment down the road. Maybe that's you. You know, one of the refreshing things about doing ministry when I go to Parchment, go to Kairos, and I go there, nobody's there trying to say it wasn't me. By that time, once they're talking to you and they realize that you're just a Jesus person, they're like, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I know why I'm here. And you talk to people who at least have gotten honest about what they are. But what is there for you? I know you got it. I know you got the sin. I know you have it. And then to make it even worse, see, sin was there. Death was there through all creation. But then God made a law. At a point in history, God set his law down. We call it the Ten Commandments, but he set his law down. He said, you should not have any other gods but me. You should cut out the idols, no idols. You need to take my name and respect it. You need to keep my day holy. You need to honor your father and mother. You don't need to be killing nobody. You don't need to be adulterating. You don't need to be stealing. You don't need to be coveting. And you don't need to be lying, and you don't need to be coveting. So what happened when that law came? When that law came, sin went, woo, now we got names for these sins. So let me ask you, are you an idolater? Has anything ever had its place in your life higher than God? Have you taken the name of the Lord your God in vain? Which happens to do with careless speech, but also has to do, I think, with calling yourself a Christian if you're not. Living close to Christians don't make you Christian. Living in the Bible Belt don't make you a believer. You know, what's your sin? Have you forsaken the assembling of yourselves together? What is it? Are you a covetous person? Are you an adulterous person? See, once sin got a name, do you know what the devil did? He did the happy dance. Woo, do, 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 do. I'm going to get these suckers. Watch this. Wham, wham, and I'm going to beat them down. That's exactly what he does, but that's the bad news. And can I tell you, I don't know what your sin is. I just know you have sinned. And when the law came, it said sin abounded. Do you see that? See that in verse, I'm not making this stuff up. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense, that's the sin, the offensiveness to God, the stench of our sin was even stronger in the nostrils of God when the law came down. It grew big. And then what happened? Because death always follows sin. It says in verse 21, so that sin reigned in death. I mean, it was controlling. It was dominating. And I'm going to tell you, if you are in this bad news part and you've never proceeded into the good news part where I pray we'll all proceed in a moment. Can I tell you, death is the biggest thing on your calendar. You may not even be thinking about it consciously. But you know it's coming for you. You're afraid of it. You might not be afraid of it actually happening, but you're afraid of how it's going to happen. Is it going to be painful? Am I going to hurt? Am I going to be sick a long time? Or is it going to just smack me down? It's the biggest thing. It's the biggest boogeyman under your bed. It's the biggest monster in your closet. Because sin reigns in death. Look, that's the bad news. And y'all, we don't do ourselves or our loved ones about any favors. You don't do any favors by comforting people in their sin. It would be this ridiculous. It's okay, baby. It's okay, because soon you'll die and go to hell. It's okay. What? How ridiculous. That's not your fault, baby. That's not your fault. That's somebody else's fault. It's because you had addicts for parents. You had these problems. You didn't have enough money. You didn't get enough what you wanted. And it's okay. It's okay, because one day you'll just go to eternal condemnation. It's okay. It's okay. There's no comfort in that. Don't try to make people feel better in their sin. The classic example is when they were playing, the captain or whoever was in charge ordered the orchestra to play music on the Titanic while sinking so people wouldn't get panicky. Can I tell you? The Titanic is sinking. Cut the music off. Get right with God, which involves you being honest about who you are. And the Bible says we're all sinners. Every single one of us. We can't run from it. That's the bad news. That's the strongest case. Let me tell you, I put in there, it says, our enemy's strongest case. Y'all see that? Our enemy's strongest case. This is the strongest case against you. If I was the prosecuting attorney, I would get a conviction right now on every single one of us. One, we all have the sin sickness. Every single one of us have sinned. Every single one of us. And when the law came into action and the sin was identified and specified, can I say specified? Specified. Y'all write that word down. Look it up. specified. When he specified that sin by names, what that meant was we are all stone cold guilty, red-handed, every single one of us. I don't know anything about the law, but I know I could be like that. I could be like Tom Cruise in a few good. You can't handle the truth. The truth is you're guilty, guilty, guilty. I'm guilty, guilty, guilty. My sweet six-year-old girl who prayed yesterday in the sinner's prayer was guilty, guilty, guilty. Do you think I'll do her any favors by saying, baby, you're just six. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just wallow in your sin for a little while longer. It's okay. No, it's not okay. She's got her father's sinful genetics and her mother's sinful genetics. She got it from us. And then she sinned on her own, guilty. I could get a prosecution on this case. I could do it. If it was only up to the law, if it was only up to good works, if it was only up to getting yourself out of it, ain't none of us would ever be free. None of us would ever get it. Do y'all understand that? You're had. We got you. We got the videotape. We got the DNA and evidence. Heaven and earth have given their report to God and said, yep, I've seen them all. They're all guilty. Now, if I was to leave right now, we ought to just go get high. There would be no hope for us. I'm just telling you. There's no hope. There's no hope in the law. There's no hope in all this stuff. Can I tell you now what the good news is? I hope I can. Because listen, it's so good. What you and I couldn't do on our own, God has done for us. And you might say, well, what kind of justice is that? It's the guy who made the law saying, I've made a part of that law saying this, if there is one who is without sin, who will come and die for them and take their penalty, they can receive the blessings and the grace from his life and not be guilty of their sin any longer. That's what kind of justice it is. It's God's justice. It's called grace. It's called a gift. And it was given to us. Sin brings death. I explained this to my six-year-old and she understands it really well. Sin brings death. So I said, baby, why did Jesus have to die? Because, she said, because we sinned and our sin brought death. That's right. Whose death did he die? Now I'm asking y'all now. Now we can respond. I know I was shouting, I was getting all crazy in a minute. But now I'm back down to earth. My feet are planted. Whose death did he die? Mine. Ours. That's whose. I want to tell you. Salvation has nothing to do with we found a loophole in the devil's case against us. Salvation has nothing to do with rationalizing away your sins as if they were mistakes. Salvation has nothing to do with saying, well, it was just a little bit of sin in my life because I was primarily good and God accepted me regardless of the sin that was there. That's not true. There was a stone cold case against you. You were going down. Guilty until he stepped in. And it just this, here's the truth. His grace is greater than our sin. His grace is greater than our sin. Can y'all say that with me one time? On the count of three, don't rush me. On the count of three, one, two, three. His grace is greater than our sin. That is the only hope of salvation, bar none. His grace has to be greater than our sin. His love for us is greater than that which we offended him with. It's all about him. He gave us something greater. Here's this tremendous case against us, and this is what the Bible says. Chapter 5, verse 18. It says, judgment came to all men, and it resulted in condemnation. Do y'all know those are legal words? Judgment, condemnation, legal words. But listen, but even so, through one man's righteous act, talking about Jesus Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Do you hear that? Legal term, justified. What were we justified by? By the free gift of God. That's what you're justified by. Not because you're going to do good someday. Not because you're so precious and you're so promising and you got such potential. Baloney. You're saved by the grace of God. And everything after that is icing on the cake. It's gravy on the turkey. It's the extra. It's blessings. It's fullness. Man, that's where we're supposed to live. That's 100%. You want to know how to be 100%? This is 100%. I know that I was saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and by his grace alone. That's what makes me 100%. Want to know why I can have assurance? People talk about, well, Baptists always talking about assurance, and they think they know they can be saved and stay saved. You want to know why? Because I know who bought my salvation, and I'm 100% confident in him. He won it. He did it. Now I want you to see the showdown. Y'all ready for the showdown? I know, I think I've preached this passage before, but I just like it. And it was just time, because we need to get to 100%. Did y'all sense the worship time? Do y'all sense what God's doing? Do y'all sense how God's growing and pushing? We don't need nobody doubting in here. Doubters are always welcome. Don't get me wrong. Come on in. Unbelievers are welcome. Homosexuals are welcome. Did you hear me say that? Everybody's welcome here. Every single person. But being here don't make you saved, but you'll hear the message that'll make you saved, because I ain't going to talk about religion. I'm going to preach the grace of God till we're all 100%. That's where we're getting to. Listen to the showdown, verse 20 and 21. It says, the law entered, and the offense, that the offense might abound. I'm not English. I am English, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not an English major. But I know what the word abound means. Do y'all know what the word abound means? What does it mean? I know we have some English, you know. What does abound mean? Does it mean to get bigger or smaller? Okay, good. It means bigger. So what does much more mean? What does much more mean? More bigger. Thank you. That's my language. It said, sin got bigger. Do you see verse 20? The law entered that sin might abound. The offense might abound. But where sin abounded, where it got bigger, grace abounded much more. Let's put it back in our language. So when sin showed up big and had its strongest case, grace got bigger. Do y'all get that? It didn't lessen the case that sin had on us. It just overwhelmed it. It overpowered it. Grace overpowers sin. That's the good news. Did y'all hear me? That's the good news. That's the good news. His grace is greater than our sin. Now, what about the results? Because we know sin brought death. We know death is on our calendar. What about that? Verse 21. Listen to this. So that as sin reigned in death, that sin had a controlling interest in our life through death, even so grace might reign. There's that word reign, to dominate, to be in control. Grace might reign through righteousness. Whose righteousness? It's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. It's his right action, not our right action, not your right attitude, not your right prayer, not your right gift, not your right attendance at the right church, which, by the way, right now you're all doing great this morning, but his righteousness, his righteous actions. And listen what happens. Even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's strongest argument is this: his grace is greater than our sin, and that his gift of life is greater than death. Hey, you go to the doctor and tell him this. Tell him you're dying and you want a pill to stop it. Tell him that. Hey, doc, I'm dying and I want a pill to stop it. There ain't one. Eventually, you're going to meet that date. Eventually, that's coming for you. What can outdo it? I can tell you what would outdo it, is that when you go, you find out it's not the end, and there's something eternal that your Heavenly Father welcomes you into and says, you have been brought to life through Christ my Son, and that life never ends. Welcome into the kingdom and the joy of your Master. Let's go and party. That's what comes up. That's what happens. It's so awesome. His grace is greater than our sin. His gift of life is greater than our death, and it's just up for us to receive it. Now, I'm going to move my pronouns, because I've been talking about we and us. His sin, his grace is greater than our sin. His gift of life is greater than our death. But we need to move. We need to transition this, because although we are all in the same boat, we do not get to collectively bargain with God. There ain't no union. You don't just get to be close to somebody who knows you. Do you know in your life that his grace is greater than your sin? Do you know that? Or are you 50-50? Can I tell you how you know if you're 50-50? You don't have any joy in the Lord. You have no boldness in the Lord. You're hit and miss. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel bad about where you stand with God. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about your relationship with God. You're hit or miss. You're wondering, am I in or am I out? Well, I want us to settle that. I want you to settle that. If you need to settle whether you're in or whether you're out, will you do it based on the word of God you just heard? Don't make excuses for your sin. Own it and claim it and bring it to God. And ask for mercy and ask for grace and then be overwhelmed by his gracious response that says, I love you and I've saved you and you're mine forevermore. You need to make that decision today. Come on. Do you need to make that decision today? Don't think about the person next to you. Don't think about why they're here. Don't think about who needs to hear this besides you. Who are you to God? Are you one of the gracious recipients of his salvation through Christ? Or are you still 50-50? If you need to receive Christ, you come up now. Where invitation is now. You come on up. If you need to say, I just need to make it right. Maybe you, man, there's people. I was at the recital Annie yesterday. I saw my sweet girls and several other sweet girls from this church even dancing. And one of the songs they sang was, the sun will come up tomorrow. The sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Can I tell you that just the way that song has that positive, bold affirmation of the truth about how the sun's going to follow the night. Can I tell you that this truth I shared with you, that you're a sinner and that only through the grace of God that you can be saved, that's going to be true tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. And when the sun refuses to shine one day, the truth about the grace of God is still going to be the truth. And you're going to have to face that one day. Why not today? Why not make it right for you today? If you're a fence rider, if you're 50-50 and you think, man, it took all my life to get up to 50-50, well, you can take that next step and be 100% today. If you're just worried, I'm just not sure. Do you think God's going to slap you on the knuckles for coming up and praying, saying, Lord, I just want to be sure. I just want to be sure where I stand with you. If that's you, you come up now. You come up now. I'm going to pray. Father God, I pray right now. You know what you're doing. Lord, it hurts me. I know it hurts you more to think that there's people gathered up in your church where the Bible's preached, where your name's lifted up, that might still be on the fence, riding 50-50. They don't know if they're in or if they're out. Are they living for them or are they living for you? They're not sure. Who's God in their life? I mean, they say one thing, but they live another. You said of your people, their lips speak praises, but their heart is far from me. Lord, we don't want that here. You've made a way. You've made the way for everyone to come and experience a salvation that was bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. Your case is stronger. Your grace is greater. It's so amazing. Would you, Father, give us freedom in this place right now? I'm just going to give a few minutes. If you need to come and make it right, would you come and make it right today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just come on up if you need to. We would be a church. We're not going to ever be perfect. But Father, can we be perfectly in you? We're always going to have our faults, our failures. We're going to sin. But Father, can we just know that we're in you? Can we be yours? From side to side, from front to back, can we be yours? Not 50-50, not riding the fence, 100%. Not lying to ourselves, not lessening the case against us, but fully embracing your case for us, your grace. Lord God, help us.
I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Well, I just want take a little time right now and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, yeah. Well, I just want to take a little time right now and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Hey, don't leave here 50-50. Don't leave here if things ain't right. I can say ain't. I know I'm not the English teacher. I'm the preacher. Don't wish things were right. Pray it. Ask God about it. Lay it all out to Him. He's done everything to make it right. Just waiting on you. That's all. That's it. There's nothing He's got to do. You don't got to tell Him 3 weeks in advance you're going to come to Him so you can get the fatted calf ready. But look, the sacrifice has been made. The resurrection has happened. Justification is available. Relationship with God is open. If that's you, don't leave here without it. Just another chorus, another bit of song.
I just want to take a little time right now and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Well, I just want to take a little time right now and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. So thank you, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Well, I just want to take a little time right now and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I just want to take a little time right now. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you.
Amen. Y'all, the invitation for God's never closed. We're going to close this service. We're going to take up an offering. And if the ushers would come forward now to do that, help me with that. But y'all, God doesn't ever stop working. He doesn't need a rest. He's not on vacation. He's not sleeping. He's not indisposed at the moment or unavailable. God is always available through His grace because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that's for you. That's for me. So don't ever give up on yourself because He's there 100%. Father God, thank you for how you love us. And as we take up this offering, I pray, Lord, that you would bless us because we're the needy and you got what we need. And so, Lord, we're just looking just for your blessing. For all that you've called us to do, we trust in your provision and we thank you for it. We thank you for what we've received. We thank you for what we're about to receive. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.